Welcome to On the Way, where we walk through scripture in episodes that are short enough that you can listen to them on the way to your destination, and deep enough to help you on the way to becoming who God created you to be. We are being sanctified. We've not yet reached perfection. We are not yet in heaven, but we are on the way. We are still in the book of Titus. My original plan was to go from Titus chapter 3 verses 1 through 7 today, but I'm actually going to only make it through verse 2. Today we're just going to talk about the somewhat controversial first two verses of Titus chapter 3. And because it's only two verses, I'll just read them both for you here. Titus chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Paul said to Titus, "Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone." The chapter opens with Paul telling Titus, a Roman Jew telling a Greek, to tell all the Gentile Christians to submit to the government and its officers. This is an amazing command when you realize what Paul is telling them to do. The government in Crete and in Greece was terribly corrupt and immoral. And we've already talked about how dishonest the leaders of Crete were. Have you ever been asked to follow someone who was corrupt? To obey someone who is corrupt? That's not an easy command. Paul didn't even qualify it with a statement like, "Obey the government unless they tell you to do something immoral." He just said it. I've had this question a lot about the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. But what if my father and mother are terrible people? What if they tell me to do something I shouldn't? Or what if they don't deserve to be honored? And my feelings about that commandment are kind of extreme, but I believe we are called to radical honor. Unless we are being asked to actively sin against something, unless we are being commanded by our parents to actively sin, then we should honor our parents. And I believe that God will bless us for doing it. When it comes to following government officials here in America, I am regularly asked to do things that I think are dumb, I think are unconstitutional or counterproductive. But the Constitution of the United States is not the Bible. It is not an authority in my faith. I think it's a great document that's produced incredible results, but if I think the government is doing something unconstitutional or even socialistic or fiscally irresponsible or just plain dumb, I have a biblical mandate to submit to their authority. And I think Paul's advice is wise for two reasons. Number one, usually faith plus politics equals politics. The faith just eventually gets dropped out if you look at history. When we get caught up in trying to combine our faith and our politics, then politics almost always gets our focus. The bad news of earth distracts us from the good news of heaven. The faith issues fade and we become the Christian voting bloc. And I'm not saying that we can't be politically active, but it has to be totally subordinate to our Christian mission. That means we would be wise to wait to get involved until politics affects our faith. Christian issues can become political, but political issues must never become Christian issues. And we do this all the time, so let me repeat that. Christian issues can become political, but political issues must never become Christian issues. We influence politics, not the other way around. Let me give you an example. One of Jesus' primary messages is to care for people who can't care for themselves, the poor, the widow, the orphan, and so on. Jesus said, "When you refuse to help the least of my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." Helping the poor isn't a political issue. It's a spiritual issue. And this one's complicated because Republicans say that we should shrink government to help poor people, but Democrats say we should grow government to help people. So who's right? Well, it doesn't really matter that much. We don't have to agree on the method if we agree on the goal. If you help poor people the best that you can, and I help poor people the best that I can, then I truly believe that we will get the job done. Unless helping poor people isn't actually our goal. Unless we're talking about helping people primarily for our own benefit, just to look good, but we're not actually willing to sacrifice our wealth to make it happen. Unless we're not actually willing to sacrifice because we're more worried about being fair. And let's be honest, politicians don't actually argue about how to help poor people anymore. They argue about fairness. And we love it when we feel like they're fighting for our fairness because we want fairness. But as long as our primary goal is fairness, we will never help the poor. Political division in America will end if we could agree, I think, on one thing. If we could agree on the definition of fairness, but we're not going to agree on it. Democrats say that fair is fairness of outcome, that we should all have about the same amount. Republicans say fairness is fairness of opportunity. For them, fairness isn't so much about having the same stuff, but about having the same opportunity to get stuff. And both are impossible. And as Christians, our goal is not to get stuff anyway. Fairness is an impossible goal that will always lead to division because fairness doesn't exist. And Christians, we have to realize that Jesus didn't talk about fairness. Jesus talked about sacrifice. Jesus said you should give more than what is fair. Turn the other cheek, put other people first. Jesus said don't be fair. For Christians, fairness is not the objective. The first convert in heaven was a thief, probably a pirate who lived a terrible life. But right before he died, he said, Jesus, remember me. Jesus says, welcome to the family. Wait, Jesus, he gets in before me. Do you see how good I am? And we compare. Fairness is a deadly comparison game that kills community. The beauty of grace is that it makes life not fair. A beautiful community of people all recognizing that we cannot earn the grace that we received. Christian relationships are built on unfairness. They're built on grace. The second reason I believe Paul's advice is wise is because God is in control. The news media doesn't want you to trust God. They want you to believe their narrative of division. They want you to believe that the world is a place of chaos. They want you to think that the world is spinning out of control. But the world isn't spinning out of control. Jesus didn't come to take sides in a world where everything is falling apart. Jesus came to take over. God is in control. If you told me to write a sermon about why Jesus would have been a Democrat, I could do it. If you told me to write a sermon about why Jesus would be a Republican, I could do it. Here's a poem for you. Jesus was red. Jesus was blue. It's amazing how often he agrees with you. But Jesus didn't take a side. In fact, Jesus was hated by both sides. All the political power on both sides was against Jesus, but he won. He had all the power and he gave it away. He had power and he sacrificed it for the weak. He had power and he gave it to the powerless. So what do we do? Verse 2 says, they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Politics is divisive. We say we hate that, but we love it. We turn it into a sport, two teams fighting it out. We're cheering for our team. We take their side no matter what. But if our cheering turns into slander, if it turns into gossip and quarreling, then we are rejecting Paul's instructions and we are giving in to the temptation to be selfish and materialistic. Paul also said in Colossians, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. We are able to submit to government authorities when they made dumb decisions when they lead our country in the wrong direction, when they are hypocrites, and when they cause us to lose money, we are able to follow them because we know that this world is not our home and that God is in control. We're not fighting for financial gain, for comfort. We're not even fighting for liberty. We are called to sacrifice in this life because great is our reward in heaven. And that is the first two verses in the third chapter of Titus. If you're getting together with a group to discuss this episode, we've included some discussion questions in the show notes. And if you have time, spend a few moments in prayer before your gathering. Ask God to use these passages to inform you and to form you into the person that He created you to be. Thank you for joining me for this episode of On the Way. Next week, we're going through the next section of the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Here are the discussion questions for this episode. Number one, tell the group about your involvement in politics. How often do you vote or share your political opinion on social media? Do you read and watch the news on a regular basis? Number two, is it important for Christians to vote? If so, what are the issues that are most important to focus on? Number three, practically speaking, what does it look like to submit to the government and to its officers? Number four, what can Christians do to decrease the political division in America? Number five, what does Christ-like political dialogue look like?